Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is now the 8:30 hour, time that we have set aside and committed to coming to hear what God has to say to us on this night. It is a beautiful night. All of us are still here. It's raining all around us. But God has saw fit for us to be here on tonight. God has extended this opportunity, another chance for us to come together and fellowship in the Word of God. Members of the body of Christ, one body, many members. And God saw fit that we have this platform. And on Wednesday night at the 8:30 hour, we could come together, all members of the household of faith. And I don't know about you, but I am so glad that God is still working things out together for the good, for those that love Him. And God is still in control. And God is still with us. Tonight is Wednesday. We already in the month of February. We in the second month of the year of 2021. It seemed like just yesterday it was New Year's. And now we on the 10th day of the second month. Time is moving on. God is still in control. And we are pressing towards the mark of the high calling, which is Christ Jesus, as we take time to grow in grace that God afforded to us by receiving the knowledge of God, which extends the grace towards us. Our lesson tonight is coming out of the book of Psalms. It's going to be the 13th chapter. The title of our lesson is, How Long, Not Long. You know, I was looking at Black History the other day, and they had a thing on about Martin Luther King. And I took this information from his speech that he made. The title of this speech is, How Long, Not Long. And he delivered this message in 1965. And it amazed and astounded me how it's still so prevalent for us today. The Bible teaches us that there's nothing new under the sun. Hallelujah. Nothing new under the sun. There's a time and a place for everything. But the good news is that God orchestrates the time. He created the time. He is timeless. And He's working out His master plan in our lives. That's why we have to give Him praise, honor, and glory. Because He deserves it. He is our all in all. God is the essence of all of our being. God is holy. So at this time, I'm going to play a song. Now, I told you the title of the lesson is, How Long? Martin Luther King even shared an answer. He said, Not Long. I'm going to bring you through the scriptures of someone else. If you read Psalms 13, ask the same question. And he gives an answer at the last scripture in that chapter as well. But I went to get the music that I would play for tonight. And I think that this record gives us a solid answer to just hold on. The title of the lesson is, and it's letting each and every one of us know that we will win. I'm going to play the song, and after the song, we're going to go to the throne of grace. And anybody who God is touching you to pray. You will be able to pray once the song is played by just pressing the one button on your phone. And listen to the song and be prayerful in your heart. Touch and agree that you will win.
The enemy came up against your home. The enemy came up against your children. The enemy came up against your name. The enemy came up against your character. You will win, win. You will win, win. The enemy came up against your health. The enemy came up against your finance. The enemy came up against your vision. Enemy came up against your business. You will win. Oh, you will win. Yes, you will. Oh, you will win. I wanna let you know today that you will win. Hey, yeah. I know you're hurt.
Your name, your character. And then he came up against your health, your finances, your vision, and even your business. And then they say, she said, I know you're hurt and you're torn. I know you're broken. She went on to say, but you will win. All of these things, she said, may be a fact, but the truth remains that in the name of Jesus, you will win. She went on to say, not only you, but everything that's attached to you gonna win, because it's your winning season. And I come to tell you tonight, you can't achieve it until you believe it. Help is on the way. The title of the lesson, how long? And Martin Luther King said, not long. And I'm going to show you through the word of God, the same question is asked over and over and over again. And if you just continue to read when the question is asked, the answer usually follows. Because of God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. At this time, it's time for us to go to God in prayer. Hallelujah. It's time for us to lay our burdens down. God said, bring everything to him and leave it on the altar. He don't sleep nor slumber. He has the power to do thing and everything that you need. He's sustaining your life and carrying you over day by day. God is a good God and worthy to be praised. If anyone would like to pray at this time, you could press the one button on your phone. Minister Elira Mackey, I see your light is pressing. Your mic is open.
God, we thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God. We just magnify and glorify your name on this Wednesday night, Lord God, that we come to break bread, Lord God. Oh, God, we come, Lord God, laying aside everything that's hindering us, oh, God, because your word said that we can cast all our cares upon you because you care for us. And, God, as the songwriter sang the song, Lord God, everything attached to us wins because God opened doors that no man can open and closed doors that no man can close, Lord God. And, God, we thank you that we can fight on through our darkest days. Even though we get heavy laden and sometimes can't see our way, I know God will open doors. He'll open doors for you and me because it is our winning season and everything attached to us, men. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb of God. God, I ask that you would touch Minister Diane as she brings forth your word this evening, oh God. Oh God, that you would enlighten everyone on the airways, oh God. Those that are listening by computers, Lord God. Those on telephone lines, Lord God, we just ask that you would have your way, Lord God. And as Minister Diane always said, that we continuously grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, knowing that these outer vessels are all perishing, oh God, but our inward man is renewed day by day. And we just come to bless and magnify the name of Jesus, to lift your name on high, oh God. It is in your name, I pray, in Jesus' name, hallelujah, to the Most High God, to the Lamb of God, to the great I am that I am. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you so much, Minister Mackey. Thank you so much for going to the throne of grace. God knew who all was going to be here anyway at this 8:30 hour. And we just went to his throne of grace to give him respect, glory, and honor, which is our reasonable service. And I thank you so much for using the gift that God had given you for us on tonight. As always, I do a little background, and I'm going to use some of the portions from the speech from Martin Luther King. I wish I had time tonight because I'll read the whole thing. Because as he reading, you could feel the Holy Spirit was leading and guiding him. You know, the word of God said, sometimes you just got to speak, even though you don't know what you want to say. But the Holy Ghost will always give you what needs to be said at the time if you surrender to him. So I'm going to use some of this tonight, and then we're going to get into the scripture. And the part that I decided to take from the speech, I'm going to read it as follows. And they said, now this is Martin Luther King speaking, hallelujah. I think this was when they just had walked over that bridge from Selma to Alabama. It was a long walk. They had a lot of obstacles, and he got to the place, and he was making a speech. This is the last part of the speech. He said, "And as we go away this afternoon, let us go away more than ever before, committed to this struggle and committed to nonviolence." He said, "I must admit to you that there are still some difficult days ahead. We are still in for a season of suffering in many of the Black Belt counties of Alabama, many areas of Mississippi, many areas of Louisiana. I must admit to you that there are still jail cells waiting for us in dark and difficult moments." He said, "But if we go on with the faith, bringing God in and faith in God," he's talking about, not faith in man. He said, "But I must admit to you that but if we go on with this faith that nonviolence and its power can transform dark yesterdays into bright tomorrows, we will be able to change all of these conditions." He went on and said, "And so I plead with you this afternoon as we go ahead. Remain committed to nonviolence. Our aim must never be to defeat or humiliate the white man, but to win his friendship and understand it. We must come to see that the end we seek is a society of peace with itself, a society that can live with its conscience, and that will be a day not of a white man nor of a black man. That will be a day of man as man. I know you've been asking today, how long will it take?" Somebody's asking, "How long will prejudice blind the vision of men, darken their understanding, and drive bright-eyed wisdom from her sacred throne?" Somebody's asking, "When will wounded justice lying prostrate on the streets of Selma, Birmingham, and communities all over the South be lifted from this dark of shame to reign supreme among the children of men?" He went on to say, "Somebody's asking, when will the radiant star of hope be plundered against the non-cultured bosoms of this lonely night?" Someone in the crowd hollers, "Speak! Plucked from weary souls with chains of fears and the manacles of death, how long will justice be crucified and truth buried?" He said, "Yes, sir." He said, "I come to say to you this afternoon, however difficult the moment, however frustrating the hour, it will not be long." He said, "No, sir, because truth crushed the earth will reign again." He said, "Yes, sir." "How long? Not long, because no lie can live forever." "How long? Not long, because you shall reap what you sow." And he said, "Yes, sir." "How long? How long? Not long. Not long. Truth forever on the scaffold. Wrong forever on the throne. Yet that scaffold sways the future and behind the dim unknown. Standeth God within the shadow, keeping watch above his own. How long? Not long. Because the arch of the moral universe is long, but it bends towards justice. Yes, sir. How long? Not long. Because my eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He said, yes, sir. He is tramping out the vintage where the grapes of wraps are stored. Yes. He has loosened the faithful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. He has sounded forth the trumpet that shall never call retreat. He is shifting out the hearts of men before the judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer him. Be jubilant, my feet. Our God is marching on. Yes. Glory, hallelujah. Yes, sir. Glory, hallelujah. Someone said, all right. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. Now, Martin Luther King did this in 1965. But if you trace the Bible all the way back, you're going to find many, many men of God that God had ordained, like he ordained Martin Luther King and anointed him for the appointed hour that he served. And you're going to see their acts. How long? Martin Luther King said people were asking how long. But you see, he was kind enough to give him an answer. He said, not long. Not long. And so I used that to say 1965, the question, how long? Then I went in the Word of God and I stopped on in the book of Psalm. And in the 13th chapter, I found King David. Hallelujah. And this was thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago. But David said, how long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? And then David was, you know, hardened, like the record say, he was hurt. And then he, you know, he asked, how long, Lord? But before God can answer, he said, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? Verse 2, how long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall my enemies be exalted over me? How long is the age-old question? But the songstress that sung the song told us, we're going to win. You see, if you taking continue to read the book of Psalms and you see the life of David, you know that David won. David became the king of Israel. David had the son Solomon that wrote books in the Bible. David was described by God himself as a man after his own heart. He did win, y'all. You see, it's amazing that a man, that man has always asked the question, how long? And these scriptures was written thousands of years ago, and the heart of man still wondered just how long. But we got to realize that, you know, God created time, and God is timeless. So what we think is long to God, the book of Peter suggests that a day is 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is a day. So if Jesus came over 2,000 years ago, it would appear, if that literally, that we are only in the second day to God. But to us, it seemed like eternity and it's forever. And, You know, when you're being hurt, it could be a week and you just don't want to feel it and it seems long. So the question is asked, how long? You see, Dr. Martin Luther King's speech in 1965 asked the question, how long? And he offered up an answer, not long. You see, even today, people all around the world, because there's trouble everywhere, y'all. It used to be a United States thing, a China thing, a Russia thing, but it's the whole world is in turmoil. So that's why I say people all around the world, as we face these many challenges, at some point in time, we may ask the question, how long? You know, for many years, we were taught that you can't question God. But that came from man. God never said that. And we see the men of God and someone so connected with God like David and Martin Luther King, Dr. Martin Luther King, still had to ask the question, how long? And if we look at verse 3, it says, consider. Now, this is David going again. David asked him how long. David even, you know, got a little answer and said, will it be forever, you know, that my soul going to be having sorrow and I'm going to have trouble in my heart daily? How long shall my enemies keep exalting up against me? You see, God had given David something that nobody wanted him with. And you see, David was always on the run because God had told him that he would reign as the next king after Saul. So the people start looking at David more than Saul. And you know, jealousy is a monster. So Saul began to do everything that he could to kill David. And David was already on the run, always on the run. But look how God did. God gave David a best friend. And David's best friend was the king Saul, who was trying to kill David's son. He would always give David heads up. God said he'll never let his people stay in the dark. And even after David did all of that and Saul died, David's sons tried to throw him off the throne. And David was once again on the run. Many of the chapters in the book of Psalm was written in caves when David was lonesome and David was on the run and wondering why all of this is happening to him. So when we look at verse 3, it say, consider and hear me, O Lord, my God. Lighten my eyes, lest I sleep and sleep of death. He said, hear me, God. Lighten my eyes. Let me see some solitude somewhere. I just die like I'm here, like right now. I go to sleep and sleep the death while in the midst of my anxieties. David was just questioning him, y'all. And then on 4, he said, let my enemies say, if you let me die now with the debt now, he said, you'll be let my enemies say, I have prevailed against him. And those that trouble me rejoice when I am removed. He said, please, God, don't let it go down like that. He said, if you let it go down like that, this is what's going to happen. My enemy's going to laugh at me. See, I went through all of that for nothing. God, don't let it go down like that. God has rewards. They say when Jesus come back and Jesus break through the clouds and we be lifted up, they say Jesus is coming with his rewards in his hand. God said he never asks us to do something without giving us a reward. Because that's just the way he planned it. And on verse 5, look what David says. Now, David asked the question. Then he wanted to say, you mean it's going to be forever? And when I'm going to get some relief, you want me to die like this and they're going to laugh at me? He told God that. He asked God that. But look what happened in verse 5. David says, I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. You see, sometimes our problems get the best of us. And it may bring us to a little valley of regret. It may take us off the track for a minute. But oh, when the Spirit starts speaking to your soul, because that's the Holy Ghost's job, and he brings things to your memory, the things that you know that the Word of God has said, and he gives you an opportunity to look back over your life, and you see how God brought you through danger, seen and unseen. And he showed you when you was at your lowest moment how God came and picked you up. He showed you how when you didn't have nowhere to go, he directed your path. He showed you that you might not have no food for your children, but you got a knock on the door. He showed you when you was failing in your health, how he came and touched your body. You see, so now David, get to verse 5. He had all that to say. He probably took a pause. Come on, y'all. And he began to remember, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, I couldn't even be where I'm at today. Yes, everything around me is all screwed up. But I wouldn't have made it this far if it wasn't for God. So in verse 5, he said, I have trusted in thy mercy. God, but I trust. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. God, you're taking care of me all the way through eternity. And verse 6, I will sing unto you, Lord, because he has dealt bountifully with me. It's all right to ask the question. And the question has been asked by many great men. And you got to realize, after asking a question, you got to, when you start pulling back and holding on the confession of your faith, you begin to remember that God said he'll never leave you nor forsake you. And you can feel your help coming on. You're being strengthened. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, and Satan knew he was hungry, Satan's going to always come to you at your lowest point. And Satan offered him some bread to quench the desires of his flesh, which was hunger at the time. And Jesus used the word of God to defeat Satan. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. And you see, the scripture is telling us that that's what we have to do. We will have trials, tribulation, adversity, setback. Come on, y'all. We'll get sick, but not unto death. God is letting us know, just hold on, because help is on the way. Hold on, my brothers and sisters, because help is on the way. You see, when we look at these scriptures, and let's just look at some of the things that's happening in the world, and then you can see the hand of God moving all around. I went all the way back to the Old Testament, and I pull up David. I think in the Bible they have Hagar asked God how long. Many of the prophets wanted to know how long were he's going to let the Israelites suffer. And God is still taking care of Israelites even now with all of their sins and shortcomings, and many of them not accepting his son today. But you see, God made an unconditional promise to Abraham that he would give his children the promised land, that he will make them his nation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it was a promise. See, God is promising many of us things in our lives. Some promises are conditional, where it said if you study the word of God, you're going to grow in knowledge of God, conditional. But he made an unconditional promise to Abraham. And he's fulfilling it every step of the way. And the glorification for his nation, for the Israelites, Abraham's seeds. And I want to tell you tonight, y'all, we are the seeds of Abraham as well. The glory that we will receive is going to be unbelievable. The scripture says, eyes haven't seen and ears haven't heard, nor have it entered the hearts of man with God having stored for his people. We are God's people, the sheep of his pasture. We have to learn how to become sheep and let God be our shepherd. You see, sometimes we have to set back and become as clay and allow God to take his hand and put the clay up on the wheel and turn the wheel and shape and reshape and arrange and rearrange all of the matters in our lives. We got to act like clay that's controlled by the hands of the master. You see, so many of us won't be the potter because we want to do all the molding and shaping of others. And we can't make ourselves to be a good vessel. Many times when you lean to your own understanding, you're acting like the potter and not the clay. God said, what he have in plan is not hard. You see, in the Old Testament, when they used to sacrifice the bulls and the cows, and every time they sinned, they had to bring more bulls and cows, it was stressful. It was work. God didn't want it to stay like that. He said, because they can't accomplish no matter how many bulls they burn. He said, but I'm going to give them a savior. And he's going to sacrifice himself once and for all. And anyone who accept my son, all of their sins will be forgiven. Their past sins, their present sins, and the sins they're going to commit down the line. He said, I don't want you to struggle. But we bring it on ourselves. And many times we are taught. We're not taught the rest. We taught the struggle. Hallelujah, Holy Ghost. He said, take this yoke upon you, because my burden is light. God is trying to tell us, y'all. He didn't intend for it to be hard. You see, because that's why he told us in Romans 8:1, no condemnation. And we condemn ourselves. We're not reading enough. We're not praying enough. We haven't given up everything, every vice, every evils of the flesh, which could never be done, but to be the best that you can be. And you keep pressing to be even better. But in the meantime, we crucify ourselves and nail us to the cross. And if you ain't crucifying yourself, someone else is doing it for you. Telling people there'll never be nothing. Some people have a calling on their life, and they told them it's not so. And all of these things. God wants us to know tonight it won't be long. And I gave an example of King David in the Old Testament, thousands and thousands of years. And here Martin Luther King come back in 1965 and make that speech. If we look just back at last year when Black Lives Matter and all the protests was going on, they were shouting, how long? When will the injustice, the same injustice that Martin Luther King spoke about, how long will it rain? And many people ask the question, and it makes them turn away from God. But they find their way back if they truly saved. You see, because, you know, you ask the question, how long? Your job is not to know how long. Your job is to be patient until a change comes. And then I'm going to give you another example of someone asking how long. And I went to the last book in the Bible, the book of Revelation, and I stopped in the sixth verse, the sixth chapter. And the 10th verse. Well, I'll go back up to the ninth. This is in the book of Revelation, and the book of Revelation is revealing everything that's going to happen in the future to lead up to us living in the New Jerusalem. So at this particular time in the Bible, they was opening the seals, and each seal told them something about a period of time. And then the verse 9, Revelation 6 and 9, if you want to go back and visit, it's saying, when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the soul of them that were slain for the word of God. You know, in the Bible, when someone gets killed because of their faith in Jesus Christ, they became a martyr. Now, these are the martyrs that's under the altar. Come on, y'all. He said, when I opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the soul of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. These are all of the people going all the way back. You know, the first martyr in the New Testament was Stephen. They stoned him to death because he wouldn't bow down. Come on, y'all. They cut off John the Baptist's head, martyred. They took in they killed all of the people, all of the 10 disciples. I want to let you know tonight was killed for their faith, except John. John the Baptist was not a disciple, but John who wrote the gospel, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and Revelation. He's the only one died a natural death. All of them was martyred one way or another for their faith. They wouldn't back down. So I'm going to read 9 again, and I'm going to go ahead and finish this. And when he had opened the fifth seal, he saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held, how they wouldn't back down. And 10, and they cried with a loud voice, the people that were martyred, that's with God in heaven. That's what the scripture is saying. Under the altar, they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true? Do it thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? They say, God, when you gonna, you know how sometimes people do you wrong and you let them go? You say they're going to reap what they sow, because Martin Luther King had that in his speech. So these people who were martyred for God's sake, for not backing down. He said they spilled our blood. God, how long are you gonna take care of them? But look what it says in verse 11. And white robes were given to every one of them. Now, these the ones martyred. They with God in heaven because they're at the altar. Now they receive a white robe. See, you will win. You will win in the end. He gave every one of them a white robe, and it said unto them that they should rest. Now, they dead. They there. They before God. They ask the question. He give them a white robe, and then he tell them they should rest for a little season. Like Martin Luther King said, not long. Look what John wrote in the book of Revelation when the question came from the martyrs. He said, rest, yes, for a little season until thy fellow servants also, for their brethren that should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled. Now, the answer to them is, the answer for them was, it's not over. He say, and everybody who's got to be revenge, gonna be revenge. He said, but everybody that's going to die as a martyr got to die too. Because I guess he said, I'm going to present every martyr at the same time. He said, you got brothers and probably sisters that haven't died yet. He said, when everybody is gathered up, the wrath of God is going to be on those who shed the blood of his people. And then if we get with the last example, and Jesus is a martyr, because in fact, he died doing the will of his father. The martyrs in the Bible died doing the will of their father. Jesus did also. So I come to tell you tonight, no matter what's going on in your life today, hold on. Help is on the way. No matter what you're going through, God's got it. And everybody's going to reap what they sow. See, the evil and the wickedness of this world think they're getting by. And I come to tell you tonight, Donald Trump got a lot more reaping to do for his sowing. And I'm not just trying to pick him out, but it's so obvious what he did. I'm not making anything up on him, and I don't hate him. I'm only speaking the truth. It's apparent, and so many people say they can't see. But just like the book of Revelation with John as the speaker says, just wait a little more season. So I want to tell you, they got a little more maybe to your season that you're going through. But weeping may endure for a night, but joy is going to come in the morning. But you got to hold on because you will win. I don't care what it is. You will win. But you got to hold on because you see the race is not given to the swift nor to the strong. But those who hold on to the end, don't give up. You see, Martin Luther King is dead, and he's a martyr. So he's going to be with them in a presentation. Because you see, in his speech, he talked about faith. He talked about his eyes had seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. You know, and Martin Luther King went on in another speech. He said, I might not get with you. He said, but I already went to the mountaintop. Martin Luther King knew he was going to die, but he was dying for justice and truth. Hallelujah, and nonviolence. Martin Luther King will stand tall with the martyrs. Hallelujah. And then God's going to do his wrath. And everybody that's not his will be placed in a liquid fire. And that will be the end. Justice will reign. And it's going to be a happy day. And we're going to live with Jesus forever in the great new Jerusalem. We will win. Victory is ours. Satan thought he had won something when Jesus was crucified on the cross. But oh, we know how the story ends. 3 days later, Jesus rose again with all power in his hand so that each and every one of us could win. So I come to tell you tonight one more time. I want to let you know, each and every one of you, you will win. The word of God's explained that to us. You will win in the end. And that's my lesson for tonight. And if anyone would like to say anything, add anything, take something away, give some encouragement, maybe tell a testimony about something with them, whatever it could be, if you want, I'm extending the time for you to be able to express something if you like at this time. All you have to do is press the one button on your phone, and I'll open the mic. And I don't know about you all, and since my mic is already open, I'm going to tell you first of all, for me, I know I'm will win. I will win. And you see, if you keep following and trusting God, you don't have to wait to the end to win. You can win in your life. You know, some you're going to lose, but some you're going to win. And in the end, you're going to win it all. The prize belongs to you, because what you did with the confession of your faith, accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and it guaranteed you a chance to the tree of life, where you'll live forever and you'll see God face to face. You will win. Well, if there's no comments or anything to be said at this time, we could have our benediction. And again, I would like to tell each and every one of you and thank you for taking time out of your schedule to come and hear what the Spirit had to say on tonight, to see what God wanted his children to hear, to see what the Holy Ghost had to say. It came to encourage, to let you know you will win. Call your number. This is Tamika. Tamika, your mic is open, baby.
Good night, T. Diane. Good night to the people on the line. I just wanted to say thank you for the teaching. Thank you for the encouragement. I always say you say all the time about things that get better and just to hold on, and that we're going to go through trials and tribulations, and that this is nothing new to God. His son went through it. People going to go through it. They went through it before we were here. While we're here, they're going to be going through it after we leave here. So I always say thank you for the reminders that things are going to get better, and just to sit back and watch God move through our lives and just wait on him. So again, thank you for the teaching, and I enjoyed it.
Thank you so much, Tamika. You know, you got a problem. Some people got a little bit of problem. Martin Luther King was trying to do everything good, and he got beat. He got put in jail. But he kept fighting for the right for us to even have a chance for some of the things we got now. God used men and women of God to help advance the cause for whatever he has. You see, that's a part of his arranging and rearranging. That's a part of his working things out together for our good. He'll rise up a Martin Luther King. There never was another one after. That's how you know when you know what God did. If that's it for tonight, we could have our benediction. Guess I'll use my old benediction because it is really so embedded in my heart and my desire for each and every one of you. And this is Bible study. But my desire is that we all grow in the grace of God. God is giving us grace to be the best that we can be. And we grow in it as we get better and better. So that's what it's talking about, growing the grace. God has given all of us grace when we accepted Christ. But you see, when you accepted Christ, you wasn't who you are today. So you have grown from them, from there to where you are now, hopefully. And I pray you didn't go backwards. But you have grown. You have grown in that grace that God has given you. So it's my desire that everyone grow in grace. And then the scripture really tells us how we do it. You grow in the grace when you get the knowledge of God, when you hear the word of God. And don't just be a hearer, become a doer, but grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ now and forevermore. And that's it for tonight. God be with each and every one of you till we meet again. And if it's God's will and your desire, next Wednesday, 8:30, we'll meet back up again. God loves you and so do I. Good night, everybody.